Welcome to the Keel Hauled Podcast. I'm your host, Captain Logan, and we've got a lot of Sea of Thieves news to cover today. So tie yourselves to the mast and hold fast. Ahoy there, pirates. I hope you had yourselves a good week and a good weekend. I know I did. This week, we're going to be talking about the latest comic for Sea of Thieves, the Sea Dogs Search. We're also going to be talking a lot about the upcoming PlayStation beta that's been going on this weekend. It's not upcoming technically, but it's been going on this weekend. And we also have some news about upcoming events. All that and more in this week's episode of Keel Hauled Podcast. But before I get into any of that, I have to thank the patrons. They're the ones that are supporting this content to help get me to SOT. Not SOT. I do this every week. Fest of Legends. They're the ones that are helping me get to Fest of Legends. So I want to thank them every episode to let them know I appreciate their support. So you too can do this if you want. You can head over to patreon.com/keelhauledpodcast. Show your support for the content that I'm putting out. There is a Discord channel that is just for the gold hoarders. That is the highest tier. We meet up every month to be able to talk about the game and the state that it's in, anything that they want to chat about. I did just have to amend the date for the upcoming one for this month. That is going to be this weekend, the 20th at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 9 p.m. British Summer Time. I apologize. I realized just now while I was looking at the dates to be able to talk about this that my wedding anniversary is actually going to fall at the end of this month, and I'm going to be out of town for that. So just wanted to let you guys know about that. Otherwise, not a big deal. We'll definitely see whoever we can. If you can make it, that's great. I would love to get some thoughts and feelings, some experience on that episode to talk about the state of the game, as well as what you think of the changes that they made, or the announcements that they made about the cosmetics for PlayStation versus Xbox. Love to get some thoughts in on that from you all. So as always, I shout out the names. Here are the folks that are supporting this month. Thank you to Adorabold, Elcute, Balls, Blue Turtle V1, Captain Chonky, Captain Hayes, Captain Longsharts, Chateau Neuf, Super Pack, Zombie Killer, Cloud, Cosmic Johnson, who just reached out to me recently and said that they're looking forward to meeting me at Fest Legends. Cosmic, I'm looking forward to it as well. Static Mirror, Iron John, Davram TV, El Jefe Esteban, Fergatron, Godhammer 6, I'm Dependent Now, Jorby Jorbs, J Hood, Carl Embo, Kazia the Aficionado, Cryptic Slayer, Lumpy SRQ, Evil Morpheus, Space Admiral Ors, Xbox Mike 29, Murphy Lives, Mutinous Max, Nipperkim, Norwegian, Raja the Brave, Registella the Brony Pirate, Replicated Flame, Rustbelt Kid, Skamelt 666, Captain Dasm, Tommy D, TN Professor, Real Big Tuna, Big Bad Pad, Mina Fairy, Anthony N. Jr., Captain J. Rad of the Flaming Cold Sore, The Lore Chronologist Deadeye Dre, Hegger Owl, Jeff H., Captain Duckweed, Evil Martha, Peter Miller, Rooskidoo, Thor Von Blitz, Luke Lore the Insipid Ghost, and Zam Wow. Thank you all so much for your love, for your support. The kind words that you shared recently meant a lot. I appreciated that. Everyone reaching out to me last week. I'm still going through it. I'm doing a lot better this week, but I appreciate the support. It meant a lot because, you know, I hate missing episodes, but I want to make sure I get some content out for you. Speaking of, the episode for the end of the month might be a tad bit late just due to the fact that I'm going to be gone, and I'll either have to do it early on the 24th or I'll have to do it late on the 29th. Wouldn't mind getting some feedback either way. If you guys want to have it, like have me just do an early episode without knowing what the PS5 launch is going to look like, or wait till the PS5 launch happens, get the feedback, and then put out an episode a little bit later on the 29th when I can do it then. So let me know what you guys think. First on today's docket, let's talk about the Sea Dogs Search. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then this is a good opportunity to catch up. I won't spoil the ending, but I will say that it is a good search. The search is profitable. So if you're not sure what's going on, you can head over to aka.ms/cdog3 to pick up the latest episode in the online comics available through Amazon on Kindle. Those are for free. This one pertains specifically to Lissetti's search for her lost brother's soul, reaches its conclusion in the latest comic miniseries. Now, this is something that's been going on for a while now. Now, we've had these three comics come out, and we finally got the conclusion. I was very happy to see it. It was a really, it was rushed, I would say, but it is a mini series. You know, you're not expecting to really get like deep in the weeds when it comes to this kind of stuff. So I was really happy to see its kind of conclusion and see what happened. There's good news, some weird news, and some interesting like discoveries that may actually kind of rear their head in Sea of Thieves itself. There's some characters that I think would be very prime to be joining us in the Sea of Thieves in the upcoming year, especially after the 2024 preview event, knowing what's going to be going on with Flameheart. I think that we've got some ample opportunity to bring some of these tertiary characters that are in the comics into Sea of Thieves proper, besides just Lissetti DeMarco. I really enjoyed this comic. I think that they have done a really fun job with these. Like they've been able to continue to put these out and make sure that, you know, if there is like a little bit of a story that they want to tell that for whatever reason they can't seem to get into the pipeline for the actual game, that the comics are a nice little kind of way to supplement that world. You know, if you don't believe me, Skull and Bones does stuff like this. There are a plethora of books that are made available for other franchises as well too. And while we already have two books for Sea of Thieves, the comics are kind of a fun way to kind of showcase what Sea of Thieves is with characters that you know and love and been playing, you know, playing around, or not really like playing around, but you've been aware of them. You've been following them over the years. And it's just kind of fun. I like that Titan Comics is helping kind of facilitate this, because honestly, like, as much as I would love the physical editions, there's so many storylines that I feel like Sea of Thieves wants to get into and just doesn't have the time. And the DeMarco Lissetti storyline is one that is very near and dear to me. I really love these characters. I think that their crews are hilarious and well-rounded too. Surprisingly well thought out characters for the most part. Now, granted, they are a little stereotypical at times, but especially with this latest episode, they went places that I really genuinely did not expect. Like they really changed some of the characters in the series. And part of me wants to know, like, is this something that we'll ever see in Sea of Thieves? So I do encourage you to head out to your local Amazon website. Do a quick search for Sea of Thieves comics. Take a look and see if you can find that Sea Dogs search again. All three issues completely free. There is a web-based version of the Kindle app. So if you want to like browse through the pages on your web browser, that is possible. That's how I consume them. And it's just like a nice way to kind of learn a little bit of story. You'll also run into a few characters that you know from Sea of Thieves that we really haven't heard from, which is kind of a nice way to tie it, root it back into Sea of Thieves lore. Which at the moment, you know, is kind of focused in other areas. All right, let's talk about the big thing that you're probably going to want to know about, and that's going to be the Golden Glory weekend that is coming up next weekend. Very important that you guys keep an eye out for this. I thought it was actually this weekend. I was like sitting there being telling my buddy like, oh, you know, it'll be cool. We'll get this Skull of Siren song. We'll turn it in, make an easy 100K. And I turned it in. Nothing, not a thing. That was not something that was going to happen, unfortunately, but that's okay. It's fine. Because you know why? We're going to be getting a Golden Glory weekend this upcoming weekend. So I'm looking forward to seeing if I can get some more time in on Hourglass. That is still like, I'm still kind of halfway through that process to getting my skeleton curse. I don't want to do it, but I know I need to. I don't know how much time I'm going to be able to do it, but maybe there's going to be a way for me to do it a little bit easier, because I just picked up and I know I should have waited for a sale. I know it was already on sale, but I should have waited for a better sale. But I couldn't help it. I went and bought a Logitech G Cloud. I've been wanting one of these probably since last Fest of Legends. Not gonna lie. CJ Super Pack sold me on the Logitech G Cloud for the first time I've ever been sold on a device that I did not think I wanted to get. But I picked one up, so I'm looking forward to diving into that and getting a chance to set it up and get it all hooked up to my Xbox. And the reason I picked that was because I wanted to get it set up alongside what's it called? The PlayStation, like streaming as well as Steam. And I don't do Steam, but you know, like there is legit, like some definite like opportunities, you know, if like hell, more games like Helldivers come out, then I might want to, you know, play more on my Steam account. And there's also a bunch of games that I've just claimed on Steam for like, you know, super cheap on deals. And same thing, I don't know if I can do Epic yet. I got to figure that out. But if I can figure out how to get Epic connected up, I have so many games on there. And the goal here, I think, is comfort. I'm looking to be able to do Sea of Thieves and some other games and stuff comfortably on a handheld. And I don't want to buy a Steam Deck because I know that the Steam Deck is already kind of like out of date as far as like hardware goes. And I get it. There's like the Asus ROG and stuff. But those are so much more as far as like cost goes. They're so much closer to hardware that is like, you know, doable for native streaming that honestly, like when I think about it, I'm like, well, I just built this PC. It's really nice. But I work in my office all day. I've been trying to get out more. I've been trying to be more active. And it would just be really cool if I could try and give myself an excuse to like go out and do things and still have access to some of my library. Because, you know, I've been playing mostly Switch games. Honestly, I've been playing a ton of NES games lately on my Switch when I go out. But those... you know, want to have a little variety, would like to be able to dive into Sea Thieves and stuff like that. And given that my PlayStation is out in the living room, that's not going to be accessible all the time. If I want to be able to be like in the bedroom and stuff, I still want to have access to it. Not going to buy a PS Portal. That's just not going to, I'm not going to spend $200 on that thing just to limit it to one console. I'm going to buy the $100 more device and get access to all my consoles. So really excited about that. But we have a Golden Glory weekend coming up, and I might actually, you know, take advantage of having the Logitech G Cloud to be able to stream Sea of Thieves and be able to, you know, like take advantage of this event that's going on. So I'm really happy that they're doing this. I don't know if I agree with the time, because it feels like the timing of this should have either been this week or the week after next. Because right now we've got Sea of Thieves beta going on for PlayStation 5. We'll talk about that. I got some thoughts and stuff. But there's no beta next weekend for PlayStation 5 users. So they're stuck. They get like a week of playing it and then miss Golden Glory. And then a week where it actually launches. And it's like, oh, you guys, like, I don't know if it's a server thing, if it was like a timing thing that they just didn't think about, if they were trying to like give everyone else like an opportunity to jump in and have some fun. They could test out the servers or what have you. Like, I don't know what the deal was, but it did feel like they should have probably have done it like on the weekend of the PlayStation 5 launch, you know, like really capitalize on people wanting to jump in and play Sea of Thieves. Now, granted, you know, like, I don't think that there's ever been a Golden Glory that wasn't taken advantage of, with maybe the exception of one recent one where they kind of murdered Athena loot. But for all intents and purposes, like, it feels like it could have been so much cooler of like a kickoff to the beginning of Sea of Thieves, you know, like really, really draw folks in and stuff. But it's going on between the 19th of April and the 22nd of April. And then of course, you know, PlayStation 5, that's going to launch on the 26th, I believe. So I'm glad that they're doing one. You know, we had the anniversary which was a whole week long event, which was fun. And now we're getting a Golden Glory. And then it'll be new season, you know, season 12, which I'm super excited for right now. I feel like seeing some of the stuff that was going on in the PlayStation client and seeing those potentially come to Xbox and PC when the client gets updated. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if it's meant to be that way, but I would really like that. They've made some changes. There's some changes. It'll be kind of cool. I guess that's it. I think that's it for, you know, timed event wise things that you need to worry about. There's no Twitch drops going on. It's just the Golden Glory weekend. And again, that'll be 19th through the 22nd. So, let's get into my thoughts about the PlayStation beta. All right. First off, I feel like I need to address the elephant in the room, because if I don't address the elephant in the room, then it will feel like a disservice to the players who are experiencing the issues that are going on right now. First off, I want to read the announcements that we kind of got this week. There was quite a lot of information that went out. But Sonic Bob over on the, you guys know is Drew Stevens, from the videos, who's been telling us all about like the hot fixes and the anti-cheat and all that stuff. That's who Sonic Bob is. He posted over on the forums an update on matchmaking delays. So I figured I'd give a little bit of context to what's been going on over on the PlayStation side, so you guys can kind of understand like there's been issues. So he says, "Hi everyone, with the PlayStation 5 closed beta now live, we're seeing brand new and seasoned pirates alike joining the seas to sail together into new shores. It's truly heartwarming to see our legends guiding these new sailors through the experience, both in-game, but also outside the game in the Sea of Thieves Discord and other channels. While we are a few hours into the closed beta, I wanted to jump in and share a quick update on the current state of matchmaking and acknowledge some issues our players are facing getting into the game. The team has identified an issue early today which will prevent players in the closed beta from being able to connect optimally to the full range of regional data centers that we operate Sea of Thieves servers on across the globe. Because of this, players may be affected in one of two ways. Non-optimal regional play. Players may find that they join a game on a region that isn't optimal to their location, potentially resulting in higher network latency, lag, and rubber banding. Extended wait times. Some players may experience extended wait times getting into the servers as high populated regions are filling faster than we can scale servers for. While the team are hard at work attempting to mitigate the issues as we speak, we will not be able to resolve the issue fully during the closed beta. Therefore, players may experience one or both of the issues mentioned above during their sessions. From a development perspective, finding an issue like this is exactly the purpose of our early testing phases like closed beta, which is interesting because this is technically it's a closed beta, but it's one you can stream. I'm not quite sure what the semantics are there, but I'm not going to get into it. While the team will have tested extensively during internal testing phases, the live environment always poses unique challenges for us and it's critical we identify, but most importantly, iron out the issues ahead of the full PlayStation 5 launch later this month. I appreciate that for players affected, this is no doubt frustrating, and it's disappointing that some of our players are not having an optimal experience right now. The team are working hard to mitigate the impact of this issue. However, we thank all of you for your patience during the closed beta. We are trying our best to bring as many of you in as we can. Drew Stevens, aka Sonic Bob." So, I feel like I gotta stretch my jaw a little bit there. It was a lot of talking. Unfortunately, I think this is having an impact on Xbox and PlayStation players as well, too, or PC players. I don't know for sure. I don't know how server architecture works. I don't know how they spin up or ramp up or scale servers in any way or fashion. I am not a developer. I am merely tossing out an idea that might help understand why we're seeing issues outside of just the PlayStation fan base. Right now, if y'all don't know, and this is the elephant in the room, if you don't know, a lot of Xbox players are having trouble, and not just Xbox, PC clients as well too, but mostly Xbox, it feels like, from the anecdotal evidence that I've been able to gather, that a lot of people are disconnecting, that the game will stutter, lag, lock up, and then eventually just disconnect you from the game. I myself have experienced a decent amount of rubber banding, at least on PC client wise, to the point where I've even, you know, switched clients, because I was running into an issue with the Windows Store and pirate text. So I switched over to the Steam client. Steam client definitely feels a little bit more stable, but to be perfectly honest, I feel like I'm probably, you know, I feel like I'm just lucky, because I genuinely don't seem to really run into too many issues. And I don't know why that is. I feel bad. I feel guilty that I'm having a good experience. I feel like I should be in the thick of it with other people having issues to feel like they're not alone, and that, you know, their word is trusted, that their actions, that their experience is valid. But I'm not running into that. And it's, you know, part of me is grateful. Part of me is kind of like, oh, that's a bummer. I wish I could speak to this better. But I unfortunately can't at the moment. So a lot of this really does come from the community. So when I speak about, you know, like them, Rare having trouble with the client side issues, it's genuine. It's not something that's made up. It's something that many people, in at least in my community, I've seen speak up about this. And it is frustrating. I don't know if it's to do with the PlayStation client. I don't think it does. But I know that they're also having issues with it as well, too. But I hope, for the sake of all fans of Sea of Thieves, that they are able to get into a server, that server is healthy, that the server is stable, and that they can go about and have grand adventures without the fear of disconnect. And while they have done a lot over the years to mitigate this, with being able to rejoin, with being able to maintain your inventory, giving you a timer between when you disconnect and when the game session actually closes out, you know, that 15-minute timer makes a big difference if you're having trouble. It doesn't change the fact that the game is in a state at the moment that feels painfully unstable. Unstable is not a word. If you're unstable, you're probably a horse. If you're unstable, you're probably the Joker. Yeah, that's how words are. Regardless, I want to talk about the PlayStation 5 experience, share some anecdotes that I've had, because it's honestly been really fun. It's been really cool getting in there and trying that. But there are obviously issues right now with the game that I'm hoping Rare is cognizant of and actively working on, because with the PlayStation 5 launch just 2 weeks out, roughly, it would be a shame if this was the repeat of 2018, where servers were kind of on fire, things were breaking, and Joe and Craig had to stand in front of a whiteboard and kind of explain what the team is doing to work on this. I don't wish crunch on anyone, but I also know that you know, there's a point where you have to say, like, okay, it's not worth it to play Sea of Thieves right now if the game is going to be as unstable as it is now. There's just no reason for someone to want to invest time, only to lose that time, not to another player, but to the code, because I think that hurts worse. I think everyone's kind of accepted, you know, like, you're not going to win every match in Sea of Thieves. Like, any matchup you come up across, you're not going to win. You're not guaranteed to win every time you go sailing. But you should at least trust that the game is going to do everything it's supposed to do to give you every opportunity to win that encounter. Does that make sense? I hope that's coming across properly. That's really my biggest hope, that the game is able to come in for season 12 and be super stable. I fear that the history of the game has identified that is not always going to be the case. And I accept that, because, again, I feel like I've been lucky where others have suffered. And I hope that that's not, I hope that there are more out there in my scenario than folks like Norwegian, Kylia, CJ, who have run into crashes. Mike, Xbox Mike, lots of folks I've talked to, very frustrated right now, and rightly so. They want to be able to enjoy the game. They want to be able to spend time in the game. And when you're refused that access, when you're denied that, that frustration, doesn't go away. And, the alternative is play something else. And I don't think that's the goal of anyone that's listening to this right now. I think we all love our time in Sea of Thieves and love sailing around and seeing what kind of weirdness we can get into and what a server is going to be like. And that's the majority of the time that we like to spend our time gaming. So I hope I did justice to the folks that are frustrated. And I hope that the devs that take the time to listen to this podcast understand that the frustration is more out of a desire to play the game than with the game itself. We just want to play, and we're hoping that at some point we can feel confident that the game is going to allow us to do that as well too. All right, let's talk about PlayStation 5. First off, I had two really good sailing sessions this weekend. For those of you who don't know or missed last week's episode, a lot of stuff going on in my life right now. And this weekend was kind of a weekend to decompress, if that makes sense. I was able to really kind of focus on doing stuff that I want to do. And, you know, I went out, got some work in on the gym, picked up some healthier food, got rid of the junk food that I had, tried to, you know, make sure I'm getting some good sleep, and catch up on some TV shows like X-Men 97, which is an amazing show. Oh my God. Latest episode. It's absolutely nuts. But that was kind of what I wanted to do. So I didn't get to spend hours and hours in the PlayStation 5 beta, partly because, you know, like things were going well. I enjoyed it. I tested what I wanted to, and the rest all felt like Sea of Thieves, you know, pretty par for the course. But the sessions that I did play were fantastic. I got to jump in with Joseph Moran, who is Mr. Badbit from the PlayStation Trophy Room. He does the PlayStation Trophy Room, which is a podcast that is probably one of the top PlayStation podcasts. He's a big fan of Sea of Thieves, has been for a long time. And we got to sail together because he and I had both, you know, pre-ordered the game, knowing that we were going to support the game just because we really wanted to show our love for this. And having access to it on the PlayStation was going to be kind of a good talking point for, you know, for him, but also, you know, for me as well, too. So we jumped on, had a really good time sailing around. There was a Skull of Siren song that we went after. And it was kind of funny because the chest was already dug up and it was over by another ship. So we figured, all right, well, we'll go get the chest. We'll come back. We'll get the key and then we'll turn it in. Right. No biggie. We get over there and the sloop that had it drops it at Ancient Spire, most likely because they don't know what to do with it. And then they just sail off. And it was like, I feel like I want to go fight them, but I also want to get this chest. I don't know what to do. So we went and got the chest, then we went and got the key. And then of course the key was on crooked masts and I had to get it. But we got the key, we got the chest and we got the skull and we went and turned it in. And then we kind of went on a hunt. And we sailed around for a little bit, you know, like going up to, other sloops. And, you know, I tried to communicate with them, but for all intents and purposes, we were intent on sinking them. Just to kind of give them a fair evaluation of what they'll probably get at the real when the launch happens. And Joe, consummate professional as he is, decided what better way to usher in PlayStation fans than by wearing the Master Chief costume and the plasma sword and just brutally murdering brand new PlayStation players. If there was any way to show, hey, you're not welcome here, he made a real good effort on that. I was wearing Jack Sparrow. I wasn't gonna stoop to the level of, you know, putting on any kind of costume that might indicate my fanboyism for Xbox. But he decided he wanted to be that guy. The real fun part was when he realized that he hadn't played Sea of Thieves in a long time, and he lost his dog Marty last year. It was a real hard thing for him to go through. He has a new dog, a younger dog. It's definitely, you know, replacement dog. And he had named his dog in Sea of Thieves after his actual dog. And boy, that shook him real hard. We were all about murder up until the point where he went and got his dog and realized that he had the one dog that was his former dog. And yeah, that was real tough for him. But it was a really good kind of moment to kind of recognize, like, hey, you know, lost pets, like myself, you know, one of my pets is Moo, my cat, and it's the it's a little Siamese cat, and she's always with me. You know, I may not have her anymore, but I got her here. I got her in Sea of Thieves. That's all I really need. And it was just a real nice. It was a nice moment. In between the murdering that we were doing, for the new PlayStation players, he got to have that nice little moment. All right, so let's talk about the DualSense. This is something that I've been very curious about. We don't really have details on, say, like trophies at the moment, so I can't really go into that. And the cosmetics that you get for playing through the beta have not pushed in, as well as the pre-order cosmetics. Those all go live, as I understand it, when the game actually comes out on the 26th. So I wanted to talk about the PlayStation DualSense, because I feel like this is where some of the big difference between like Xbox and PlayStation are going to come in. And while I do like the DualSense controller, I am still more of a asymmetrical design sticks when it comes to controllers. I still prefer that over the inline symmetrical stick placement. But this works. It works really well. I mean, it feels good. It plays well. The controllers that they have, or the controls that they have, transfer over, so I didn't really have to do anything. I did have to go in and change my FOV slider, which was really weird. It was set at like 78 down from 90, so I'm not sure what that was about, but as I was kind of jumping in, I wanted to kind of get an idea of, like, you know, what did it feel like to do stuff. So I was a little disappointed that some of the haptics are set up the way they are. I did have a weird bug. Now, I don't know if this bug was something that everyone else has really been running into, but I'm trying to think of what I would call them. The sound of the blunderbuss when you fire it, or like an IRreach shot, does not actually happen. The action happens, but the sound doesn't happen. And the same thing goes for the cannons. I ran into a weird issue in my time playing with it, where the cannons didn't actually, like, they fired, but they didn't actually, like, make the sound. So it was really weird to try and play the game without the sounds that you know are supposed to be there. But to get back to the controller here, all the buttons are the same. You get the same layout as you do on the Xbox controller. The symbols on items, like interactables and stuff like that, are all different. They are all based on, like, the actual sacred symbols of the PlayStation controller. And that is really weird. Because what I was expecting to be, like, RT, RB and stuff, I'd run up and it would be R2, R1. Or to interact, it would be triangle. And to be perfectly honest, I kind of dig it. It looks different, and I think maybe that's part of it. But I did, like, actually enjoy the fact that all the little UI elements were different. When it came to the controller and playing with, like, the haptics are kind of, they're okay. They're not great. When you fire a harpoon, normally you just pull the trigger, it's not a big deal. With the DualSense, though, they have that resistance that is a setting in the controllers where it kind of gives a little bit of resistance when you go to pull the trigger. So you kind of have to, like, pull halfway and then pull through the resistance to get it to actually fire, which really slows down the time it takes to actually, like, have the harpoon just quickly pick up a bunch of loot, especially if you're, like, you know, if you're at a sovereign's tent. And you got a bunch of, you know, you got a fleef sitting on your bowsprit and you're ready to scoop it all up with the harpoon. Boy, howdy, does that not flow well with the DualSense haptics. So that was one thing I noticed. It was okay. It wasn't amazing. And playing through the game, you know, the cannons, you get like a little bit of a rumble. It's just like a little light rumble, but it is a rumble. And I thought that was really interesting that they went with that route. The sword, as far as I can recall, never had any haptics tied to it. I don't know if it's Nelson Mandela effect of me just not remembering it or not noticing it, or if it was too light. But I don't remember there being any haptics tied to swinging your sword. And I did, you know, I did a fair share of murder out and about. So, you know, I feel like I would have remembered noticing that, but I didn't. So that was very interesting. One thing that was kind of funny is when you fire a cannon, or if you get hit, some of the sounds that you get in the game when you have that kind of contact or engagement with things in the world come through the speaker on the controller. And I don't know if you've ever played a PlayStation game like in PlayStation 5 territory, but having stuff come through the speaker is both really cool and really weird, because it's like you get this, it's kind of like, instead of having like the full range of the audio, you're getting this tiny little tweeter of a speaker just like boop, just like trying to eke out as much little like presence. And it's like this is a cannonball slamming into the side of the wood hull of the ship, and it's like and you're like, was that the noise for impact? Did we get hit? I can't tell. It sounded so gentle. So there's really weird choices that felt like it was kind of tied to some of the features that are in place for the PlayStation 5's DualSense. I'm sure they could probably go in and tweak it. I'm sure they've probably just locked in what they've got and they're going to leave it at that. But it was really interesting. It was really, really weird to actually be playing the game, to come across another crew and having sunk them, because it was just a, you know, very fresh crew, man. It's you can tell, and you can see like PlayStation players from a mile away, man. You've been playing Sea of Thieves for a while, you see that sloop on the horizon, and they're like raising sails, turning sails, lowering sails, starting to spin, running into the outpost, frantically repairing, going in circles. You can just kind of tell, like, they're still trying to figure out how to sail. And that's cool, man. It's so cool to see that. You know, you don't really run into that on a wide scale basis anymore. But dang, I got a real hoot out of that. That was not something I was expecting, but when I saw it happen, I was like, this is adorable. I love this. Everything about this is the most precious thing. It's like it's not these jaded people on social media, or the folks that have just been playing the game so much that it's turned into the doom and gloom. It's like, they're like, what's an anchor? How do we get this up? What is that skull in the sky? I think we should go to that skull. You guys want to go to that skull? And then they just get completely slaughtered by the cannons as the fort like lays into them. You know, like there's a skeleton ship and they're like, nah, we ain't dealing with this right now. It is so much fun to see people who have never touched Sea of Thieves in their life. And I purposefully went on into the settings and I changed it so that I wasn't playing with crossplay. I didn't want to play with crossplay, whether it be Xbox or PC or both. I just wanted to see people interacting in the world from a PlayStation perspective. Now, I will say that I did notice that there was a pretty good handful of people who knew what was going on. So I'm like, clearly I had to remind myself, okay, this isn't free loot. This isn't a free sync. There are going to be Xbox players out there who are like myself, testing the waters, literally and figuratively, because it is a closed beta. You know, they want to get that data in there, and I'm trying to help out with that where I can. And seeing the way they play, like, it's just wild, man. It's just so cool. I watched a sloop getting chased by a brig for the key or the chest. I have no clue which one it was. For one of those two, for the Skull of Sirens song. And man, this sloop, they took this brig from North Star Sea Post all the way around to Sanctuary Outpost, up north around Lone Cove, past the fort, all the way to Old Faithful, and somehow managed to double back and make it all the way back out to Lone Cove before finally, amidst a fleet that I was working on solo in the middle of a storm with skeleton ships that are now repairing, I got the message that the skull had been claimed. And I was like, oh, son of a gun. I bet that brig finally got him. But it took them for, like, I was like third wave galleon on me, trying to survive a freaking storm in with a galleon, like with them repairing again, trying to get this fleet done. And meanwhile, I'm like watching the two little beacons in the sky, equal distance apart from each other, just slowly traversing the horizon back and forth. And I just knew, like, people were just like, guys, we gotta run, we gotta go now. You know, they're just trying to get this skull for the life of them. Meanwhile, I'm like grade 5 gold hoarder, about ready to turn in my chest of fortune and get a cool 50k from doing the fleef on top of the other stuff, and these guys are fighting over one skull. And it was so hilarious to me. I don't know why that cracked me up, but just knowing that this was like fresh for them, you know, it was like fresh and new, and they weren't sitting there thinking like, man, I can't believe this is still messed up, or, oh man, like all the things that we whine about on a regular basis because we see the cracks in the veneer. It was so much fun. It was so much fun. There was a crew, there was a duo sloop that I was just going to use the speaker on the controller to talk to them. Like that was kind of like my impetus for this, was I wanted to talk to people in Sea of Thieves because they've never played the game, so it's not shoot on sight, you know? It's not like ulterior motive. It's like earnest interest in talking with other people in the game, you know? It's like having a conversation with them and talking to them when you're different crews. But they did decide they wanted to get some practice in with the cannons. Like they wanted to fire, you know, that's part of the game. They wanted to shoot their cannons. I don't blame them for that. It didn't work out well for them, and it did take me a little bit longer solo than I anticipated, but they did end up getting their mass down. They did end up getting in a death spiral, and I really didn't have, like, a whole lot in supplies, so I was just trying to, like, really just try and get into that death circle and try and do that. But afterwards, like, they sank. And one of the dudes kind of swam over, and I was actually going to, like, you know, I was talking to him. I was like, hey guys, you did really, really good. If you want to come on, I can tell you some things that'll help try and get you out of a situation like that for the future. And the dude came up and I was like, are you having a good time? He's like, yeah, we're having a pretty good time. And I was like, that was a really good fight, man. You guys did really, really well. Here's some of the things that I would recommend that you do to try and, like, get out of that kind of a situation. Mast is like priority number one. If you're not dealing with borders, just to try and get yourself mobile again, you know, try and let some of the water fill up in the bottom. It takes a while for the sloop to fill up, so you should be good. Try and get some return fire, stop the people from being able to get you. See if you can get a spin on your boat too, so that way you can try and get angle on them for a majority of the time while you are working on the mat, you know, things that I would do myself to try and get out of a situation like that. And he chilled. He just sat there and chilled and let me kind of like talk to him about some of the things that happened during the actual fight. And that just doesn't happen, man. People get so salty when they lose a fight, or if you, God forbid, you run for a better tactical position or something like that. You're a runner at that point, you know. Tactics don't count when I want to sink other people. They can't get into a better position. They need to stop their ship, anchor, and lay on the floor while I take their treasure. Clearly, that is how the Sea of Thieves works. But overall, man, it was fun. It was really, really cool to see some new, fresh people come in, genuinely interested in checking out the game, not because it's on Game Pass, not because like people said it was cool or they watched a streamer, but because they're like, hey, this is an Xbox game coming to PlayStation. I'm genuinely curious to see if this compares well against something like Skull and Bones. It's like, hey, you know, I love pirates. This is my first pirate game. I bought into the Xbox ecosystem because I love Spider-Man, and now I get to try out this pirate game that everyone talks about. It's been going on forever. It's got a ton of stuff in it. Some stuff like that. You know, it's a breath of fresh air is what it feels like, which is why I really hope that the launch of this goes well. I really, really hope that the analytics come in, that the week period that they have between now and the launch, that they're able to reinforce the server structure that they need to make sure that they can adequately spin up servers to scale for the demand a lot faster, so people aren't like I was today, sitting underwater in a trench waiting for a dive to location to spawn. And it was rough, man. I think I was underwater for at least a good 5 or 6 minutes for sure. 5 or 6 minutes. It might have been longer, might have been shorter, but it definitely felt like it was at least a good 5 minutes. Because I at one point I genuinely was just like, I forgot I was playing a game. I was like looking at my phone, and I looked up and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. I actually dove to a location. I was doing something. I was gonna go somewhere. So it was like, I just hope that the servers get taken care of. And I hope that the stability comes in with the game, man, because it was really fun to see all these new, fresh people. They're going to have all these commendations to work on. They got a bunch of tall tales to check out. And the PS5 screen, too. I posted this up on Twitter, but the title screen that they have for the closed beta is, as Mike had mentioned on Twitter, a version of the original OG title load screen for the game. If it were done in 2024 as opposed to when it first came out in 2018, and all the content that had been that's present now as kind of like a, hey, these are all the little Easter eggs for all the content that's been in the game. And it's so cool to see like the Shroud Breaker and you know the Pirates of the Caribbean and the Monkey Island book and all the little things that have just kind of been added to the game for free, you know, over the years. And to see that kind of like represented on a really cool little custom PlayStation 5 closed beta title screen was cool. It was awesome to see that. You know, that's just like a little special thing that they got to do. I'm really glad for that. Now they just need to take that and make that like a dynamic background for the Xbox Series X and S controller consoles, and I can finally shut up about the fact that there's no dynamic background for a game that's been out forever, and we're getting stuff like Avowed and Cyberpunk before we get a Sea of Thieves dynamic background. This is heresy. This is unjust. I feel berated by the fact that every time a dynamic background, it just shoves in my face that I don't have a Sea of Thieves one. Which is fine. I got my Cyberpunk one on there. It's whatever. I'll live with it. But yeah, the haptics are kind of cool. The sound coming from the controller is kind of cool. The fact that the microphone actually works on the controller and you can actually talk to people through the controller is hilarious. But that is kind of par for what I guess I expected from the PlayStation. Ran smooth. It didn't have any problems. I know not everyone had that. But it was pretty solid experience. They still have the 120 hertz option on there, so I was able to bump that up, get my 120 hertz refresh rate on my TV through the PlayStation, which is beautiful. It is glorious, and I recommend everyone do it if you can, because it's totally worth it. But overall, I think that the beta did a good job, you know, outside of server issues, which again, it's a beta. They're looking to understand like what launch is going to look like and then plan for that. I think they did a good job. I think they have made a competent port over to the PlayStation, which if you don't, you know, if you guys don't know, this is the first Rare game as far as I can tell, you know, first Rare game ever published on a Sony platform, which is crazy that you can now play a Rare title on every single console. It's a first party studio that has transitioned from one company to another and is now getting their content published on other platforms. That's a wild thing to me, man. That's so crazy. I'm still kind of wrapping my head around the idea that console exclusives could actually not be a thing in the future. And you could actually just buy the console that you like and get access to the content you want. Because they're still going to make money one way or the other, you know? Like, you're either not going to buy the console, in which case they aren't going to make money off of you, or you are, and you still give money to the games that you want. And those studios still make the money off of those sales. It's just so cool, man. I'm just so, so stoked. You know, from taking the time to start working on myself, to feel better about myself, to get in the gym, to get healthier, to get a better mindset, to get out of my depression, to start getting professional help. All of that has just absolutely done wonders. I've been playing a lot less video games lately, which I think has also helped. And I've been going out more and just trying to do better. So when I do come in and I sit down and I jump into a game, I feel like I have a better, I'm in a better mental state going into this. And maybe that is part of, you know, what my experience was and, you know, like the little hiccups that I ran into during the beta, that honestly were just things that we have in the Xbox and PC client too, you know, same kind of thing. Didn't really bother me as much because I'm like, it's not a big deal. It's just a video game. It's not the end of the world if this happens or if that happens. And if it does, oh well. You know, either switch things up or I get back to it. So overall, very happy with the beta. I really hope that the crashing aspect of the game though is something that is addressed for both PlayStation, Xbox, and PC players. It's really unfair to want to go into play a game and then to run into those issues. So I feel like that needs to be like, you know, DEFCON 1 level priority kind of thing, like big priority kind of thing at the studio. So hopefully they are. I trust them, you know. I hope that they're able to figure out what the problem is that they're actually able to address it. So many times we feel like things like fixes come in, but they don't ever really stick, you know, like there's some sticky updates that come in where things change and they stick around. Other things, like they stick for a while, but then they eventually fall off the wall and you're like, ah, crap, what was that noise? And you go around and you're like, oh, it was the shark spawn rate. It fell off the wall. We got to stick it back up there so that, you know, shark spawn rates are back to normal. Things like that. It's I feel like I'm talking about like posters that I hung up on the wall or like little things that I stuck to the wall with some sticky tack or something. It's like, ah, dang, can't believe that fell off. That patch was a really fun patch. We'll have to go back and stick that back up there so people can load cannon or get into a cannon and not fire up or sideways. And they actually fire up, you know, stuff like that. I don't know why it feels like a tack board that they're just like, all right, we've got the code up here. Nobody touch anything until we absolutely have to, because if anyone touches any one of these strings or pins or sticky tack parts, the whole thing's going to come crashing down. And I swear to you, I don't remember where everything went the last time. So it's like, take a photo or something. I don't know. I'm getting off topic. There's not much else to cover here. I think that's going to do it for this episode. So we'll call it Pirates. If you want to get a hold of me, plenty of ways to do it. Obviously the best way is going to be through Discord, because that's generally where I'm at most of the time with my community. Other than that, you can always reach me on Threads or X at @CAPT_LOGUN. There is the email for the podcast, CAPTLOGUN@gmail.com. Nobody really uses it. Most people usually get a hold of me other ways, so I don't mind that. There's also the Patreon too. You can have a free membership. You can always message me through there as well too. Otherwise, that's about it. I really haven't been really streaming, And for, you know, reasons I talked about earlier in this episode and last week, haven't really been sitting in my office as much. And I think that's helping. I know you guys are going to call me out on that at some point. But anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the Keelhauled Podcast. Thank you to everyone that's listening. If you're new to the podcast, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, always feel free to reach out. Great community. The links are in the show notes. Make sure you're heading over there. Make sure you're drinking your Ovaltine. And if that doesn't work, I don't know what else to do except thank you. I love you. I look forward to sailing with you on the Sea of Thieves.